Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I've always told you that one of the things that bothers me is that when the marquee says, tonight it's, and I don't mean to pick on the guy, but I'll just, LeBron James and the Miami Heat against Carmelo Anthony and the New York Knicks. What we're seeing are reasons why I've always been a proponent on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back. I just can't, unless it's somebody I personally know, okay? I can't take that next step. I can't do that the fan thing. I can't. I've never been able to. I know that bothers you.
Not as much anymore because you've explained it, and I get that. But I'm still a fan, and it's tough for me. Not a game that I'm doing or calling or anything like that. Right. Just watching, it's tough for me not to be a fan.
Yeah, but you don't know these people. Okay,
you're absolutely right.
You could be a fan of how they play. Now that, okay. You know, you can be a Patriots fan. Boy, I tell you, I love how Brady plays. What do you think of Brady as a person? Don't know him. But I think he's a great quarterback. Fine. Okay?
Well, and that's one thing a lot of people have said to me being a Steeler fan. What do you think about Ben Roethlisberger and all the stuff that went on with him? I don't know. I said, what I do know is I like it when he's dropping back and throwing touchdown passes.
Right.
That's
exactly
what I like. That's why I root for him, not what he does off the field.
You root for his job. Okay? No need to root for him unless you know him. If you know him, then it's a different proposition, all right? Now you know somebody, right? I sit there and I broadcast Penn State basketball last night. I know the players in front of me. I know Patrick Chambers to a little bit of an extent. I have a decent feel for Tom Izzo. You know, because I've done this for 31 years overall, 21, though, Big Ten seasons, and he's been the head coach for 19 of them, 18 of them. So he's been in the league a long time. I've been in the league a long time. So, yeah, I know him a little bit. You know, Joe, Bill O'Brien, I didn't know these people, the athletes. And so, okay, that's different. That's different. You know, I was talking, for example, about when the Red Sox made the trade with the Pirates, the Joel Hanrahan deal.
Sure.
Well, I know one of the guys that's in the deal, Brock Holt. And he played here at State College. He played here with the State College Spikes all summer. Know him. Know his family a little bit. Okay? Remember them coming up from Texas to see him. Spending a little bit of time with them. So I got a better feel for him. Lance Armstrong, don't know him. So it appeared that the guy was great on a bike. That's fine. You would wait to put results on, which is fine. I understand that. You're into it. I was never into it. Okay? And one can now make the argument, at least throw the theory out there, that if he wasn't doping, he'd be a nobody.
You could make that argument, absolutely.
What bothers me is all the people he sued along the way, who actually had the gall to speak what apparently was the truth. How much money do you make from them? So my first question to him would be, why and how does Lance Armstrong benefit by this admission? Everything that he has done in his career has been about Lance Armstrong. In the end, it's always come back to him. So then why this calculated move at this point in his life when he could just sit back, say nothing, and still be in the good graces with most people. Correct? If he said nothing, yes. you would still believe him, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Until some information came out otherwise.
Right.
hard information. I mean, there was a lot of rumors and stuff, but I never saw anything really
hard information. Sure. Okay. Now you have Manti Te'o. What is Notre Dame thinking?
No clue.
Why have that press conference? Back away for a second. Say we'll look into it. Okay? I mean, they know him. I just talked about knowing people. They know him. Okay, so maybe we give them the benefit of the doubt, but I'd have been a little more cautious about this because this is bizarre. Again, he was either completely and fully duped, or as they would say, catfished. Or he was completely duped, figured it out. Then, of course, the story had been circulating so much that he was so embarrassed, like, what do I do now? How do I backtrack out of this one? How do I get out of it? And I have sympathy for him at that point if he puts out the story, like, she died, the whole thing, all of a sudden he finds out, there was nobody, man, we got you. It's like, well, now what do I do? And that puts him in an impossible spot, or he's in on it.
Well, Notre Dame did hire a firm to investigate. And got the report on January 4th. And they were able to discover online chatter amongst perpetrators that it is a sort of an ultimate proof that this was, you know, not a real situation.
Right. Now, the question is, was he duped in the hoax? Or was he duped in the hoax, then he figured it out and kept it going? Or was he in on it? Those are the three scenarios. Now, why he would be in on it, you can now start listing then a multitude of reasons why. From publicity to draft status. That's if he's in on it. Now, if he's in a case where he figures it out and he was in a hoax and duped, now he's embarrassed. Now, at that point, I have, you know, in scenario one, I have sympathy for him.
Sure. Anybody okay? would.
Scenario two, then, if he figured it out, I again have sympathy for him. I have no sympathy at all for explanation three. Because even if, you know, say he's duped, it's a hoax, and he figures it out, and then he doesn't know how to backtrack. He's 22 years old, and I totally understand that because I'm telling you right now, there are 42-year-olds who are in that same situation that wouldn't know how to backtrack because it's embarrassing. And you feel like a fool. You put out this story and the whole thing, like, you know, even though you thought, because you thought it was real, I'd feel awful for him in that scenario. But in scenario number three, where he's in on it, now you have huge problems. As for the reporting on it has to come under scrutiny.
Especially the South Bend Tribune right now.
Oh, especially Sports Illustrated, especially ESPN.
Right. Yeah, but I'm just going back to the first part of it, but you're right. It goes deeper.
Look, for ratings, okay, you sit down in a room with producers. And you say, we would like to do a story on. Now, what is the purpose for making that your story of the week?
How many people are going to be interested? Who's going to
exactly.
be interested?
Exactly. How many eyeballs can you attract to the TV set? So, the story's out there in September. Okay? And it goes from being obviously fantasy, to being taken as real. But again, when you listen to the reporter saying, well, a couple things didn't add up along the way, isn't it your job at that point to fill in the blanks?
Remember Remember at the end of the last hour, you were asking the question of who's the photo that we've been seeing.
Right.
Well, here's the story according to the original article with Deadspin.com, the one that broke the story. They ended up finding a woman who lives reportedly in Torrance, California. Now, they have not named her because she's reportedly did not want to be named and have her identity out, even though her photo has been out. It was a picture that is from a Facebook account. Now,
okay.
Now wait. Here's where it gets really strange.
Well, in this story, nothing is.
Most of the photos that that have been, you know, publicized came from a private Facebook and Instagram accounts of this woman, who they ended up finding. There was one photo that she ran into an old friend and said, "Hey, can you take a photo with this MSMK at the end or on a sign?" And it's a friend of mine that thought you were, you know, whatever. It's kind of sketchy on exactly why she did it, but she did because it was an old friend from school. That became the backdrop of like a Twitter feed now.
Okay.
And that Twitter feed reportedly is all part of this. So if this is a hoax, it is a rather elaborate hoax, which is even more disturbing. But she said the two in question, she hadn't, to this friend from college or high school, she hadn't talked to him in quite some time, but, you know, remembered him from school. And then asked the request. He said his cousin had been in a serious car accident, and he had seen photos of her before and thought she was pretty. Would she be so kind to take a picture holding up a sign with that MSMK and put in a slideshow to help, you know, help his cousin recover? Now, there was no explanation on what that meant, what the letters meant, but, you know, she knew the person, said, okay, you know, I'll do it, sent the photo. Then it became part of the dead girl's Twitter profile.
And then who's this Tuyasa Sopo?
Well, this is the one that supposedly is the mastermind. Or maybe the mastermind, or at least is involved in it. I know that's still kind of gray as well. And yes, it is related to the Tuyasa Sopo. He is related to the Tuyasa Sopos that played in the NFL.
Yeah.
In a long way around. That's what I said. This story just gets strange and then stranger and then beyond strange.
Unbelievable.
But I do credit, like I said, I do credit the two reporters on Deadspin. If this, and right now, at this point, I'm a little skeptical of anything I'm reading, but I have to admit, if this has actually all been researched, they've done a heck of a job.
Look, how have we been able to get stories in recent years? Like stories where, like, in the end, the reporting was really, really good. Okay? Deadspin did it on this. Yahoo Sports did it with the Jim Tressel situation.
Yeah.
Okay. National Enquirer with O.J. Simpson.
That's a good point.
Okay. And Harvey Levine, who is the founder of TMZ, and I kid about TMZ all the time. Okay. That's because of the nature of it. But I don't kid about the reporting of it. They break a lot of stories that are legitimate, where they find things out. Okay? You don't see CBS, NBC, and ABC breaking stories anymore, do you?
That's a good point.
Okay? You really don't. It's interesting. Now, ESPN's broken some stories, but they're selective on what they break. If it has to do with Syracuse, they don't touch it.
that has to do with USC. And it's positive. No, but
you've noticed, though, I mean, there's been a couple of stories about Syracuse. The Bernie Fine situation, they're like, Mark Schwartz, you know, amazing how he got challenged. And, don't you dare. It was like, oh, really? Don't you dare? Hey, look, you got to be accountable for what you do, dude. Okay? That's an active coach that was being accused. Right or wrong, true or false, it was still an active coach on the staff that literally lived next door to Boeheim. But, you know, Boeheim's now being saluted for 900-plus wins, and he's gotten a pass in this whole thing. Okay? The dude was on his staff. The dude lives next door to him. Okay? I'm not saying anything should happen here, but, boy, he sure got a pass pretty fast in this whole thing, and he even made a disparaging remark about Penn State that was absolutely inappropriate. Okay? Okay? Roger Springfield, the former TV announcer who worked here in Pennsylvania at one point. I think he worked in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre, and the publicity staff now is being accused of something that's gone on up there. Have you seen it make headlines with ESPN?
No, I haven't.
No, because the place is loaded with Syracuse graduates. It's an amazing world we live in. And this is why I don't attach people I don't know, I don't attach myself to. Right? I thought what Curt Schilling did in the World Series was great. Is he a hero? No, I thought what he did was great. He's a pitcher.
Wouldn't mind having a sock for my collection, though. Not collection.
It's up for sale,
socks,
it's up for auction.
I know. Not for my collection of socks, by the way.
Hey, you know. Hey, I was about 20 feet from it as he walked past in the bullpen, right? And, but you're saying, like, when's the last time I was like, you know, I'm talking about except for the games I broadcast.
Right.
Games I broadcast, that's a different world, different realm. As a fan, the winning and losing, like living and dying on the edge, 2004 Red Sox, the last time in my lifetime I was like that. After that, no.
Can you think of anything in your career in broadcasting or even in your lifetime that can compare to this Manti Te'o story right now?
No.
I mean, whether it's real, fake, whether you believe it or don't, is there anything that can compare? I can't think of anything.
There isn't. I mean, look, there have been people duped over time.
Sure.
A lot of it deals with money. Now, see, in this particular case, you're saying, well, what are the legal ramifications? There are no legal ramifications. You know, to our knowledge, there's been no attempt to extort money from him out of this. So there are no legal ramifications. Except for a big lie. But no legal ramifications here. From what I can tell, unless Bob wants to call and tell me differently, unless they're extorting money from him, which it appears he's not, then I don't think there's anything here And Bob can tell us differently. Bob knows better on these things. All right, let's take a break. We haven't even had any news during the show today.
Well, we have a little bit. Some of it real
but
news.
We'll
some
come.
Of it some of it some strange news.
Hillshire's General Store hotline is 1-800-795-9565. We'll call out to Tim Saunders after the news here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hello, 2013. That means Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying customers for 98 years. I'd say if you need a recommendation on where to buy your next new vehicle, there's probably been 50,000 customers you could ask. Sunbury Motors Ford sold the most F-150 pickup trucks in the entire Philadelphia zone. They're the number one F-Series dealer. Unbelievable. SMC has 99 F-Series available starting at $21,954. If you're looking at awards, Sunbury Motors Hyundai ended 2012 as the number one Hyundai dealer in customer satisfaction in the Eastern Sales District. Sunbury
Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 23 Hyundai Elantras starting at $17,490. Sunbury Motors Kia wants to see you in a Kia, and now is the time to buy a 2013 Sorento with $3,500 off, plus 0% financing for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Lincoln is making American luxury affordable by discounting a brand new Navigator $10,100. Find your next new Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, or Kia at SunburyMotors.com, or stop in Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to rewfinancial.com. It's been an interesting day. We've been talking about trust. Well, Rick Weibel, it's one thing I've got a chance and so fortunate to really get to know Rick at various functions over the year. He and Lee are two incredible people, and Rick is someone I eminently trust. And also at the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key, Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsters General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. And we are very pleased to be joined by the play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia Flyers, Tim Saunders. And Tim, welcome to the show. It is great to have you with us.
Boy, is it ever great to be back to work.
I'll bet it is great to be back to work. You must have felt like you were twisting in the wind.
You know, I've been through this before. This time was a little less painful, I think, than the last time for a couple of reasons. But I don't think anybody, and I certainly didn't think that they could possibly let a whole year get away. So to me, it was just a matter of time before they figured out, okay, it's time, now let's get it done. That took longer than I think most of us anticipated, but you're right. It's a frustrating thing to go through. And unfortunately, I think it does do some damage to the sport. You know, there was a real concern as to what the reaction of the fans was going to be when it was finally settled. But judging by crowds at team practices around the league, it's absolutely amazing. The hockey fan, when you talk about diehards, they come back in droves.
If thousands turned out for the Flyers workout, which, of course, that's not a surprise because Flyer fans, this is not the Florida Panthers here. It's the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, we've got an open practice and kind of a controlled scrimmage tonight at the Wells Fargo Center, and they think that's going to be a sellout. The same thing was true in Pittsburgh. Last night they sold the big building out and actually didn't sell it out. They opened the doors and absolutely filled the place for a scrimmage. So that tells you that hockey fans are obviously excited and thrilled to have the game back on the ice.
In fact, I watched some of that black and white scrimmage for the Penguins on TV last night, and the place was packed. Claude Giroux being named captain, that means to Philadelphia?
Well, it means to Philadelphia that their best player is also one of their hardest working players and one of the best leaders on the team. And that's the perfect scenario. You know, when you can find that guy and have your best player be your hardest worker, you've got something special. And I think the Flyers certainly have something special in Claude Giroux. I put him in the top five in the league right now.
What makes him that kind of top five player in your opinion, Tim?
Well, I think it's just that, not only the skill level, but it's his compete level that usually don't necessarily go hand in hand. You know, that's the kind of player that will drive you crazy. The guy that's abundantly skilled and doesn't put it all on the line every single night and doesn't seem to want it enough. Well, you certainly can't say that about Claude Giroux. His compete level is better than anybody else's on the team. And, you know, there's a trickle-down effect. Guys follow that because if the best player on the team is working that hard, most guys think, I damn well better be working that hard. So I think he's the perfect guy for the job, and I think this is an indication that they intend to keep Claude Giroux in this organization for a long time.
Meanwhile, Danny Briere coming back, what, 35 years old now? How's the wrist, and what can he mean to the team?
Well, I think Danny's an important piece. You know, this is a team that did not lack for secondary scoring. They are going to miss him at the start of the season. He's probably going to miss a handful of games, two, three maybe. The hairline fracture apparently has responded to treatment, and he's feeling better than they anticipated at this point. He's been on the ice with his team practicing, although not shooting the last few days. So I think it's a short-term thing, but having Danny Briere hit the ground running is going to be pretty important. Now, he did go to Germany and play some before the injury. In fact, that's where the injury was sustained. But, you know, Briere over the last couple of years has been traditionally a slow starter. Does that translate into starting in January? Obviously, the Flyers hope that he can kind of hit the ground running.
What about this idea the Flyers are going to be in attack mode, especially early on?
You know, I think every team's going to be in attack mode. I think you're going to see a lot of kind of helter-skelter game, a little bit like that first-round playoff series with Pittsburgh last year. I mean, that was one of the craziest series just because of the time of year that I can ever remember. And I think initially you're going to see a lot of wild games like that. I also think overtime and shootout points are going to be even more important in a condensed schedule. And so that's going to put some pressure on coaches. It'll be interesting to see how coaches coach in close games, whether they're trying to keep it close, whether they go for a win in overtime, knowing how important those extra points are.
It's going to be a 48-game regular season, and if you play all four rounds right to the Stanley Cup Final and each round goes seven games, that's 28. That's 76 games, which means that's not even a regular season schedule. Thus, might we see an incredible Stanley Cup, Tim, because they're actually going to be in midseason form?
Well, I think you probably will see that compete level. I mean, what's better in sports than the Stanley Cup playoffs anyway? I think the key is going to be which teams, and it's weird to talk about days off because there are going to be so few of them, but which teams manage those times between games. There's going to be very few practice days, and it's going to be interesting to see how coaches try to manage giving players time off. If Timo Tiimonen doesn't see the ice in a practice, I don't think anybody's going to be concerned with that because you want to keep them fresh. I think keeping guys healthy and fresh is going to be a real challenge for every coach in the league.
And I think last year we saw with the San Antonio Spurs, for three-quarters to 80% of the year, they were the best team record-wise, and they were beating everybody. But then that older roster, because of the compressed schedule, got worn down a bit. Is that a lesson maybe that some of the teams in the NHL can learn from?
I'm sorry, you cut out. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, I'll repeat the question. Last year, the San Antonio Spurs, Tim, for 75-80% of the NBA season in a compressed schedule, were by far the best team in the NBA. They were beating everybody. But that older roster wore down a bit because they were just playing, and not getting any days off. Is that a concern for some of the older teams in the NHL that maybe NHL coaches can learn from?
What is it? Take a time? Well, still with regular. No, it doesn't work. My phone is shut down.
I'm sorry for the interruption.
That's okay, Tim.
Try to do 10 things at once. You're right. The NBA, the difference between the NBA and the NHL and what the NBA did last year was because of their condensed schedule, they were willing to play three games in three nights. And I don't really think you can do that in hockey. I know the American League and some of the other minor leagues will play three and three, but you know that traditionally that third game is brutal hockey. And so I'm glad to see that the league is not going to do that. Now, they're going to play three games in four nights, sometimes four games in five nights. So you're right. I mean, that's going to be hard on the older teams, which goes to my earlier point that the older guys have got to be given as much downtime or recoup time as possible. So morning skates might become not a thing of the past, but I don't think they're going to be as mandatory in some cases as they have been in the past. I think days off are going to be pretty valuable.
And now for the million-dollar question that every Flyer fan asks about. Will they be good enough in goal?
That's more than a million-dollar question. That's several million dollars. There's an out, as everybody knows. There's an amnesty clause in the new CBA that will, in the Flyers' case, maybe come into play next summer. I would say if Ilya Brizgalov doesn't have a bounce back here, that buying him out is certainly going to be considered. But having said that, I think he's got a year under his belt. It was an adjustment to go from Phoenix to Philadelphia. I think he knows a little bit of better of what to expect and what's expected of him. And I think the Flyers are very hopeful and fully expect that he's going to have a bounce-back campaign. You know, that sounds like the company line, but the fact of the matter is he was, when they signed him, one of the best goaltenders in the NHL, and you got to believe that that's still there.
Tim, you grew up in Michigan, so you grew up a hockey fan. When did the thought start to cross your mind that you wanted to be an NHL play-by-play announcer?
When the doctor slapped me in the ass. No, that's not true. I'll tell you the truth. When it became apparent that I was not going to be more than 5'6", and I didn't have the natural ability to play, so it was all about finding another way to be involved in sports and in the game, and I was really lucky to have found that.
And you had to work your way through the minors to do it, which meant you had to do multiple jobs, publicity as well as play-by-play and so forth. What did those stops in Oklahoma and places like that mean to you?
That was some of the most enjoyable, fun, hard-working years I've ever had. It was a very scary proposition because I was in radio for a good 15 years before I just figured out that I had to get out of broadcasting to become a hockey broadcaster. I had to go work for a team instead of a station. So that was a scary proposition. But, you know, there are guys around the league that were fortunate enough to go right to an NHL job, and I don't think I'd have traded the way I did it for anything because those years in the minor leagues, you know, nobody can take that away from me. In my mind, I think I did pay my dues, and I think there's some value to that.
No, you did pay your dues. And paying your dues in this business is very important because, I mean, look, I mean, people have talked about with me going to Penn State football and basketball, paying my dues. You actually appreciate everything you have once you get there.
You absolutely do. And the lower you are in the minor leagues, the more involved you are. As you said, you wear several different hats. So you learn the business in a way that I don't think you do otherwise.
It's your 17th year doing Philadelphia Flyers hockey. I can sense in your voice it's like the first year you did it. What is it about this job every day that you cannot wait to go to the rink?
You know, it occurred to me right after they announced that the CBA was settled. I think this really kind of says it. How lucky are we, all of us in the business, to be that happy to be going back to work and not dread going to work? I mean, that in itself, that in a nutshell, to me, shows how fortunate we are and how enjoyable it is what we do. It is as much fun now as it was when I first got here. And, you know, you try never to take it for granted. You work hard and hopefully you can stay here for as long as possible. At least that's the goal.
Exactly right. Millions would trade places with us, Tim. Tim, I have tremendous respect for your work. I wish you nothing but a great season, and we hope at some point we can get you back on and talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Hey, I look forward to it. That won't be long, will it?
No, it won't. It's going to be a short trip. Tim, thanks so much. Appreciate the time you gave us today.
Anytime. Great talking to you.
It's Tim Saunders, the play-by-play voice of the Philadelphia Flyers. We'll come back to wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel and REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or online at rewfinancial.com. We already called out on the Hilsters General Store hotline, which, by the way, has been humming today at 1-800-795-9565. Hilsters General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Mark Schlereth is scheduled to be on our show tomorrow. How about that?
Yeah, talk some NFL there.
Well, we talked some NFL last week with Greg Cosell, who broke everything down. Today, the Ravens got a real shot this week against the Patriots. A real shot. That's going to be one heck of a game. Look, they keep playing each other. Look at the last two times they played. Hey, Joe Flacco, to his credit, drives them downfield. Evans drops the ball in the end zone, kind of misses the field goal wide left. This time they're down 10 with 4 minutes to play at home. Boom, 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 rally, win by one. I mean, I'm sorry, but the spread's ridiculous. What's it, 9-10? What dope did that?
I don't know. I don't watch those things.
I mean, I couldn't believe when I heard it today on ESPN. I was like, what? Haven't you watched the last two meetings? I mean, it's one thing. Baltimore knows the Patriots really well and vice versa. But they know the Patriots really well. And Ed Reed's a tough. I mean, Bill Belichick has exponential respect for Ed Reed. Now, you may not know a lot about Ed Reed because he's not Ray Lewis. Okay. But that's why if I'm the NFL, okay, if I'm the NFL and I'm ESPN, I kind of cool it on the Ray Lewis love after what's been going on this week. Ken in Williamsport. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how you doing? Love the show. Here in Williamsport, we bleed blue and white. We're all mostly Penn State fans. But what I wanted to get at is the thing about Ray Lewis. I think he's a good quarterback, but I'm 61 years old, watched the NFL ever since I've probably been 8, 9 years old. I remember Mike Curtis, Mike Singletary. Now, they were great linebackers.
No doubt. I'm completely with you.
And, of course, we throw in Butkus there. I mean, he was an animal.
Look, I work with a guy I think is the greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL, Jack Ham.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I'll tell you what, they had Lambert, Ham. Those guys were. I'm not taking anything away from Ray. I tell you what, he's probably the most boisterous. But is he great? Do I put him in the great category? No. I think he's a good quarterback. Or I'm good quarterback, good linebacker. Right. He could probably kick my tail.
Sure.
but I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of good ones come out of the NFL.
Ray Lewis in his prime was an excellent linebacker. And in his prime, you could talk about him in the same sentence with a Butkus, a Nitschke, a Singletary, guys like that, in his prime. He's no longer in his prime. All right. And in fact, there are moments on the field for Baltimore right now where he's a liability.
Pass coverage, and I think so. I really do. But I think Baltimore, they don't get a lot of press coverage, so they have to have something to build up there, and let them go with it. I mean, I've already been down to see an old Baltimore Colts game down at the old Memorial Stadium, and when they left town there, of course, the people were quite upset. They left at night, and just left the city kind of hanging there and went to Indianapolis. I mean, I'm sure that's a management decision and everything, and they probably have made out financially better, but I'm glad to see Baltimore get it back.
It's been a great year for the city of Baltimore between what the Orioles did this year and what the Ravens are doing. It's been a great year for the city.
Yes, it has been. Really has been. Hey, guys, love the show. Keep it going. Listen to you every day when I drive from Williamsport to Harrisburg. Turn you on. You're regular. Stop in and even at Hilsters and get some food.
That's great, Ken. Well done. We're going to get the sponsor in, my man. Great. Thank you, Ken.
Yep, you're welcome. Have a good night.
You too, Kenny.
I don't blame him. I'd stop there, too, on the way through and get some food.
Hey, Kenny is savvy, man. He is savvy. He gets a sponsor in and everything. That's great.
Listen, take one look at me. When I talk about when I give my seal of approval to food, you know that's a place to stop, all right? Let's be straightforward.
No question. Now, the thing about what's interesting about the Ravens is this. They don't have a national following. Lewis is the national figure on the team that people know about. For better or worse, he is. But the Ravens don't have a big following outside of Southern Pennsylvania and Central Maryland.
Even Southern Pennsylvania is starting to fade a little bit, but you're right. It's like just south of Harrisburg.
Yeah. I mean, that's where it is. That's the pocket. You look at the Patriots. The Patriots are a national team. The Niners have become a national team, at least in Atlanta. Atlanta is not just a Georgia team, but they're kind of like in some ways, not the entire South, but a chunk of the South belongs to them. And has for a long time because they were the first Southern NFL team. The Ravens, for whatever reason, have never been able to get out of that pocket. And even in their own state, you go to Southwestern Maryland, those are Redskins fans. It's where Landover is. And I think in the panhandle of Maryland, you'll find as many Steeler fans as Raven fans. Now, the Raven fans are great in that they sell out M&T Bank Stadium all the time. They create an incredible home field advantage. So the Raven fans that are there are vocal, passionate, and very much into every step and stride of their team. The problem that the Ravens have in terms of perception is nationally, that's where the pocket is. But they're a win away from the Super Bowl. Kevin doesn't like it.
Nope.
More on the Manti Te'o story tomorrow. I mean, there has to be more.
Great.
I mean, there has to be.